News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, in further twists and turns in the relations between Ukraine and America, President Donald Trump has said that millions are dead because of three people, as he pointed the finger at former President U.S. President Joe Biden, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, describing them both as incompetent, and Russia's Vladimir Putin for the three-year war, which of course was prompted by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And I'm joined now by Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Good morning to you, Sean. I'm really interested in what you make of those comments by Donald Trump, that there's three people responsible for millions dead, and he puts Putin last on the list.
Yeah, good morning, Shane. Good morning, Ciara. It's really interesting watching the twists and turns in this. I think you have to set the context slightly. At the weekend, obviously, Russia attacked Ukraine, the Sumy region, 34 killed civilians, 117 injured. Now, the Russians claim that there was a military award ceremony going on, but there doesn't appear to be any evidence of that. And I think, inevitably, it seems to be just yet another example that Russia has no intention of stopping a war. Meanwhile, President Trump famously said he was going to stop this war, didn't he, within a day of taking the presidency back on the 20th of January. Then his people said it'll be 100 days. He has bullied President Zelensky to be at the negotiating table, but he hasn't had any success yet of getting President Putin there. And I think what we're seeing here is typically President Trump, rather than having criticism of him that he's not been able to stop the war, he's starting to blame everybody else for it. And I think this is where this statement came from.
You were saying he's been bullying President Zelensky, but he hasn't had any success getting Putin. Is he even trying to get Putin to the negotiating table, do you think?
I'm pretty sure he is. I think the one genuine thing about all of this is when President Trump talks about the war, he's clearly horrified about the number of people who have been killed. And he's desperately trying to find a way of stopping it. At the moment, you can use carrots or sticks, you know, to try to encourage or force President Putin. What he's clearly been doing is taking NATO off the table. In other words, Putin, if you were worried about NATO coming to your doorstep, then I won't allow that to happen. And he was doing all sorts of things to try to appease.
So carrots, basically.
Yeah, so appease President Putin. But in reality, the harsh reality is that as a former war fighter myself, you know, you only agree to a ceasefire if you've achieved all your objectives. And it's pretty evident that President Putin has not. He's playing President Trump at the moment. And I think President Trump will never like that. And therefore, he's becoming more and more frustrated. And I think he's been welcomed the fact that the news has sort of moved on to tariffs. And even though the war is, you know, rampaging still in Russia, it's not top of the news agenda at the moment. And I think what Trump is doing when an attack like in Sumy happens, he lashes out. And the harsh reality, I mean, you know, President Putin invaded. How can you blame the country that he invaded for the war?
Yeah, exactly that. And you were saying that you think Putin is playing Trump. Do you think Trump is aware that he's being played?
I'd be very surprised if he doesn't, but he probably believes that the only way to negotiate initially was to try to appease President Putin. It's pretty obvious to everybody that that's not working. I note overnight there was some more comments from President Trump saying we've got lots of proposals on the way, we're making great progress. But it's not evident that President Putin is in any way got any appetite whatsoever for stopping just yet.
Okay. President Zelensky has said that US military aid to Ukraine has practically stopped. How long, you know, really pragmatically, can Ukraine hold out without the aid it was receiving? Is Europe able to fill that gap?
Well, in time, last time that the US stopped aid was when Congress, you know, they had that faff, and it took about 6 to 8 months before the aid started to flow again. And my understanding was that Ukraine can manage for a few months with the stockpiles that it has. The one thing it couldn't do is it couldn't manage without the intelligence, because that matters day to day. My understanding is the intelligence is still being provided, and at the moment the weapons and the stockpiles are gradually being eroded. What you're seeing, though, I mean, at most recent, was it the Ukraine Defense Contact Group out in Brussels? You know, there are more efforts by the West Europe particularly to try and ramp up support. But the harsh reality is that you can't convert swiftly money into weapons. America has big stockpiles and therefore it's able to provide weapons. Europe has not got those at the moment. And until the defence industrial base spins up and starts to ramp up production, you just can't easily fill the gap. So I think there's the intent from the West to fill the gap. But unfortunately, you can't just nip down to the supermarket and buy these things. You need them specially built. And the defence industry is not there at the moment to do that.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Sean. That's Sean Bell, their former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast.
7:41 on News Talk Breakfast. Let's take a look at some of the stories hitting the headlines online and in print this morning.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.